Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Edition of the Snowcast. This week, I'm your host, DJ Walsh, as always, and I'm joined by Owen Tabb. And before I move to Owen, I'd just like to say thank you for joining us on this fine evening or morning, depending on what time you're listening to us. Why would anyone listen to this podcast in the morning? I know people do because people get in touch with us on social media, but like, you know, I would think if I wasn't a host of this podcast and I actually listened to it, I don't think I'd listen to it in the morning because I'd be gasping for a pint all day then.
Yeah, there are definitely some listeners who tune in the morning, but I have been looking through our analytics. Our prime time actually is Friday at 6 p.m.
Oh, people are tuning in just to get ready for their Friday cans.
Yeah, I'd say after work, 5 o'clock, they're going offy. And then I'd say either on the way home, getting them in the mood for the cans, or while drinking the cans, they're tuning into us then, you know.
Do you reckon anyone plays a game? If you're listening to this and you play this game, or maybe you should start playing this game, please do. But what you should do is try and predict what we're drinking on the podcast by buying a different can every week and see him play a Snowcast can bingo.
Oh my God, that's a fucking great one.
Snowcast can bingo. See if you can guess what we're drinking each week, especially with the Pilsners now. We should get people drinking the Pilsners and
try and preempt which Pilsner we're going for each week.
Yeah, I tell you what, we should. I'm not sure. I've no way of actually like clarifying or making sure this is true. I was going to run a competition, but sure, like people could just lie.
Yeah. Oh, I was drinking that. Yeah.
I was totally drinking that. Oh, wow. That wouldn't work at all. But we're delighted to be joined by. On this podcast is actually going to be released the week of St. Patrick's Day. So
Loyal of Hádraig.
If you're having a tipple on St. Patrick's Day, listen to us. Slán an Eve, bunch of us, enjoy. And it's probably the one day of the year. I say that, but like it's probably one of the days of the year where people are less judgmental about going over the top on the cans.
I don't know about that, but yeah, probably.
Anyways,
maybe the day before that's a good day as well, because I always find that with Paddy's Day is that like you get the, like, especially if it falls midweek like it is this year on a Wednesday, right? And if everything was fine and the pubs were open, that you'd have like the day off to go to the pub, but you have to go to work the next day. Like it should be a two-dayer, you know what I mean?
Paddy's Eve is always a great night.
Paddy's Eve is a great night, like, yeah.
A fine night for the session. I'm sure, look, hopefully Paddy's Eve next year we'll be in the pub somewhere recording a podcast. But the one thing I will say is this, we're actually recording this podcast before we released the last one, because we both had technical glitches throughout the week, and it's taken us a week to get the last week's podcast ready. That, and we probably weren't that arsed.
Stop apologizing for us, will you, for fuck's sake?
Yeah. So I mean
we do what we want, all right?
So I'm not sure how well the Pilsner prowl has gone down week one, but we loved it. We thought it was great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, poor Shane last week having to sit through that as a guest, but it's just the two of us tonight because we really wanted to go off and ramble. Like tonight, if our podcast is not well-structured normal weeks, this is just complete rambling, which is actually, you know what, we're trying to garner the essence of pub talk in this podcast tonight. We're trying to rekindle that. Like
you're not prepared going into a pub, do you know what I mean?
No, and the fellas, and you know what? There are some fellas that you know they have an agenda on them the moment they sit down.
Ah, oh, stop them, mate. I hate them lads.
And them lads, nobody takes them seriously.
Nah. They come in and they go, oh, did you see? Well, you shut up about that now. You saw nothing. Yeah. You need to stumble onto a topic. That's what you need to do in a pub, like, you know.
You know what I love? I love this, especially in like rural pubs. I'll go for a pint with, say, Niamh's dad now, or up in like rural Leash, or, you know, somewhere where like I'd be known, but I wouldn't be regular. And I love when someone comes in, the few people that you know in the village, they come in and they have their agenda and sit down and they're amped up and they get the pint and they lick their lips and they take the schwieg and they're like, oh, lads, did any of you hear about? And I love just like interrupting them and saying, like, going off a complete tangent that I know will be controversial. Just, I normally try and pocket something. And I know this goes against the whole having an agenda, but I normally have like a little deflection topic pocketed so that I can just interrupt and be like, hold on, before you start that deal, Tommy, hold on a second. And then going off on a wee tangent.
I'll actually correct you there. Those boys who come into the pub, right? They don't even have the pint ordered. They come down and they sit down, spout a little bit, and then fucking order a pint. Like, the golden rule is you don't even say a word to anyone when you come into the pub. The amount of times where I've been sitting down, maybe waiting for yourself or whatever in a pub, and you might stroll in and you might tip the head or give the old two-finger salute or whatever to me. Just head up and you might ask me, will I have something? You know, that might be the only spoken word. But there won't be a conversation now before those pints are ordered, you know?
No, sure, you need to wet the whistle first.
Yeah, yeah.
Any lad that doesn't need his whistle wet, I don't trust him.
No. It's been written in stone over the years.
Well, anyway, we got through the shambolic. I suppose wading through the waters of the Pilsner Prowl last week, trying to figure out what our scoring system was.
Yeah, we'll be quicker this week.
Well, yeah, we'll be way quicker. And thanks to Shane for helping us format the
score and develop it. Yeah.
Develop it. We might throw a few graphs together. Put them on social media.
Yeah, I don't know if half these are graphable.
Yeah, probably not. But sure, it'll make interesting reading. Do you know what I might do? I might actually go on to the Portleash Pub Club's blog and blog the statistics after a couple of months.
Yeah,
nobody will read it, but it'll give me a bit of a kick. But I suppose, yeah, let's introduce this week's Pilsner, Owen. What are we drinking?
It's quite interesting that we kind of diverted like immediately away from Irish craft brews, and that we're with a Danish Pilsner called 45 Days Organic Pilsner, by To Ull Brewing Company. Maybe first of all, just we'll talk about it maybe a little bit just in generic terms of it's really crisp and really fresh. Lovely kind of finish on it. Colour of it is lovely as well, isn't it?
Ah, she's beauty. Like, the one thing I'll say about To Ull
fun to say, first of all.
Oh, very fun to say. It rolls off the tongue. anyway. but all laughing aside, I was laughing when you were talking about, like, we moved away from, like, Irish Pilsners and we moved to this, like, Danish company, I think. I think, man, the amount of people that were expecting to say Carlsberg.
Oh, imagine, yeah.
Well, I was expecting it, and I'm drinking the fucking thing out of the can of my hand. So it's, do you know what I will say, right? Obviously, globally, you know, Danish Pilsner people associated with Carlsberg. So Carlsberg is what you have in your mind when you say Danish Pilsner.
Mm.
This is so much crisper, so much cleaner.
It doesn't taste like piss. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like piss. It doesn't have that chemically aftertaste. It's just, oh, like it's like you're drinking it from a drinking well on the side of Aurora Road, like.
Yeah. Do you know as well, like, even in terms of, like, having a can out of the fridge, right?
Yeah.
Like, definitely, like, I know the way, like, with most beers, you're meant to be drinking them around, like, whatever, 7 or 8 degrees, obviously. But, like, even this, like, in comparison to drinking, like, a Heineken or a Carlsberg or whatever, like, you know that those taps inside in the pubs are like way low, like they must be like, you know, like 2 or 3 degrees, you know, like, because it's way colder than these cans are coming out of, like, immediately out of a fridge, like, you know, and like even like the taste profile and stuff like that is just way nicer. But like, you definitely, I don't know, I just definitely think that that these cans seem to be, I don't know, just like more taste better because of the higher the temperature. I just feel like that they're just trying to plow the drink into it, aren't they? Like, yeah. Carlsberg and Heineken in the pubs,
they're trying to dull your taste buds to mask fucking preservatives and nonsense like that in it. And like, this is 45-day organic pilsner, so it's been it's let to ferment for 45 days. Just to allow the flavor to develop, and you can really taste that, like, that lovely malted barley. The barley really comes through. You know, like the raw materials shine. It's a delicious beer. It's so crisp. I said to you, like, because I was halfway through mine when we came on the call, and you hadn't cracked yours open yet, and I was like, this goes down so well. I'm actually kind of disappointed now that I don't have like 5 or 6 of them, because
it's one of those, isn't it?
We'll get into it in the scoring, I'm sure, in a bit more detail, probably irrelevant detail. But it, when you talk about sessionability, do you know when you're trying to get that pilsner that you can just knock out, you can drink like it's 4.7%. So it's that kind of pilsner that you can just, right, I'm having a barbecue today and I want to just have 10 cans, like, over the day. This is prime for that hot summer day, having a barbecue, drinking 10 cans.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Right. So let's get down to it. So, right. Let's get to the actual scoring. Right. So, right. First of all, we need to do the ghoul and jig, right? What are we rating it there in terms of how does it get the shoulders going?
So the ghoul and jig, we were saying, right, 3 for 15. Or five for 16.
Five for 16 is your top, yeah.
And what did we give?
We gave Bohemian Pilsner, we gave it 3 for 9.
Which, right, 5 for 16, 3 for 9. So that's not far off 5 for 16, actually, 3 for 9, isn't it?
It's not like, yeah.
I suppose in Euro terms, but I said we'd only buy the 3 of them as opposed to buy the
5. That's it, exactly. You wouldn't go out and buy the 5, you know, for 16, you know.
So I tell you what, I ranked this beer quite highly. I ranked this beer very highly. And it did get the motor, and, like, you know, it did kind of rotate the shoulders a bit and kind of say, oh, I'm on a session here now. So I would say I would give this 4 for 13.50 out of 5 for 16.
4 for 13.50 now. 3. So that's all right. 4 for 13.50. I'd buy more of them than the Bohemian Pilsner, and I'd probably pay a little bit more as well.
Yeah.
So I see where you're. Yeah. So what'd you say, 13.50, was it?
Well, maybe we'll say 4 for 13.
4 for 13. Okay, yeah. Yeah, happy with that. I'm happy with that.
4 cans in the basket, €13.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it home to your wife and drink it.
4 for 13. Grand. Perfect. So next on our rating scale is the quivering lip, right? Or the quivering quencher. Again, to reiterate what this this category is your lip is quivering, right? To what degree would this quench? I can't even fucking explain it. It's so ridiculous.
And it's on the Richter scale.
On the Richter scale, yeah. So what is the maximum quiver that this would quench?
So a Richter scale level of 9 is 30 trillion tons of dynamite, isn't it? Of a quivering lip.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, similar to the way the Gulen got Jigen there, I actually found the quivering lip is basically the first point, the quality of the first point.
Yeah.
You know, because the next score on the list is basically the quality of the first sip, which is very different to the quality of the first point.
Yeah.
They're both highly, highly technical.
Highly different.
Highly technical things.
Yeah.
That only learned scholars could explain properly. So we're not learned scholars. We couldn't explain them properly.
No.
But I would say on a Richter scale of 9, and we gave the Bohemian Pilsner 4, I think, didn't we?
3.9.
Oh, whatever that, yeah. Given that, like, the Bohemian Pilsner, because what I wrote down for this when I wrote it down, not knowing what we'd scored the Bohemian Pilsner, they were actually quite far apart, and I think I was probably a bit harsh on the Bohemian Pilsner. So I'd written down 7, but I'm going to review it to a 5.2, which is still a very, very good score.
I think I'd give it a 6.
Right. I'll go with 6.
6, yeah. 6 on the Richter. Yeah, it was lovely. Jesus, I love that. Yeah, I love that now when I was, you know, tipping into it. Like, last week now with the Bohemian Pilsner, I loved it. And probably we're a bit harsh now. We might have to review that 3.9. Yeah. But definitely when I came to this week, and I was like, Jesus, that's a Pilsner. Do you know what I mean? You know, it was like, oh, that lip now that had. See, I think we're also doing the lip a bit of an injustice as well, because we're both after having a few points already. Like, so,
I suppose
there's limitations to this study, I suppose, you know.
So look, we need to, in all academia, you need to accept the limitations, embrace them, and move on.
And move on, yeah, yeah. We're moving on to the post-point gasp. So after that last drop-in is done, what sound emits from your mouth? So obviously you're going to say, that's bass, right? But to what extent what extent of that is audible to the person sitting beside you? Do you know what I mean?
So this is I think this is the high point of this drink.
I think so as well, yeah. I think
this is where it peaks. That's not to say that's not a slight on the can at all. But I think the first sip is a very high bar.
Yeah.
Very, and I think it scores full points. I think that's bass.
That's bass. Jesus, that is bass. I'd agree. I'd 100% agree. Yeah, it's a fantastic finish on it, like beauty, and it's just, you know, it's gotten the shoulders going, you know, whatever, and like by the end of it, you know, you've kind of settled the shoulders down, you know, the excitement is kind of down a bit, but you're just after enjoying that full point, you know, and that's exactly what you want, and so our first full score. Given.
The one thing I will say as well, like what I think is the highest compliment to a first sip you can give a Pilsner is when I took the first sip and put the glass down and did my gasp, I went straight back for the glass. Like, I didn't even let it settle. I wanted another one, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was exactly how I felt with this.
So our fourth category then is just the Jibiver, right? And to me, right, I'd say, like the look of her, right? You know, and imagine yourself going into the pub and getting this on tap is amazing. What I also love about the can, right? And the front of the can just has, it's kind of like a creamy, lemony kind of color of a can with this kind of green writing, but it kind of reminds me like you're ordering a bag of porridge.
So I'd love where you're going with this, because I tell you what I thought, and we're on the exact same wavelength here. I looked at it and thought, that's a fucking bag of, that's a bag of barley in a farm shed,
isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
And I absolutely love that. Like, as in, like we've spoken so much about like all can artwork and stuff like that, but there's something quite lovely about like this being so down to earth to exactly what it is, like just an old bag of barley, bag of porridge, like, you know, just beauty. Oh,
there's no foreplay here, just straight in.
Yeah. So we just did this out of five, I think, did we?
I think it was how many jibs out of five jibs. Now, looking at it, I thought, right, I love the can. But we said, like, this is just the pint in the glass.
Yeah, yeah.
Crystal clear, lovely, lovely bit of life in the bubbles, and a nice head. And it smelled nice. It smelled quite nice as well.
Yeah.
So I'd give her a 4 jibs out of 5 jibs.
I was going to give it a 4.5 jibber.
Yeah, I'm happy with a 4.5. Ah. I think like for a 5, it needs to be like...
Oh, jeez.
You know...
Puck Pilsner, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. So like 4.5. It's not far off.
And then the final category then is puckability. So how close is she to the one and only Puck Pilsner?
So I have strong feelings on this. We're scoring this out of 100,000. Right. Now, and it's not, there's no units. There's no units for puckability. Like, how can you put a unit on the...
I know. This is Shane's fuck. Like, you know, he had to rein us in at some stage, you know?
Yeah. So it's just out of 100,000. There's no units. Right. Puck Pilsner had that je ne sais quoi, that mystique, that Moulin Rouge, you know, it drew you in, kept you there, made you want to come back for more. It had that La Vie en Prose.
I know where you're going.
it was just a nice hot red hand on an arse, like. It was just Dodd, like, it was just,
Dodd level, yeah.
But the one thing I'll say about to all the 45, the organic Pilsner, is it's basically what Carlsberg wants to be and what Carlsberg think it is.
Yeah.
Which to me is amazing in itself, and it's very much like smash these out in a barbecue. But it doesn't give it any mythical status. Like, it doesn't elevate it to God levels. Like, and I mean, it scored very highly and everything else, but that unquantifiable puckability of a beer, I think it actually is lacking.
I was actually ready to fight you tooth and nail before you started. I was like, if this bastard now gives this a high number for puckability, I'll box the head off him.
I'll hang up the Zoom call and delete the Snowcast.
Because it's absolutely nothing like Puck Pilsner at all. So out of 100,000, I'd say we'll give it maybe a 26.
Oh no, I had 25.
Oh, that's fucking class.
25 down, yeah.
Perfect. All right, 25 it is. Great. Perfect. So that wraps up the 45 days organic Pilsner by the Ull. Goolin Jig, 4 for €13. The Quivering Quencher, 6 on the Richter scale. The Post Pint Gas, full score, that's Bass. The Jibber, a 4.5. And Puckability, 25 out of 100,000.
I think we fairly nail it.
Yeah.
Do you think there's some lads in Denmark now right now drinking a Puck Pilsner comparing it to all the...
Oh yeah, I hope so. This new good cast.
Urban Snoogen casting. I actually quite enjoy that. This segment is going to last a long time. It might lose us like 90% of our listeners, but
yeah, we'll laugh our heads off anyway.
Listen, we've completely lost our minds when it comes to beer, and we won't regain them until we sit in a high stool again. So
no, no.
Yeah.
I think any critic reviews or anything like that that we might have been thrown at one stage will be fucking thrown out the window.
Who critically reviews us? Like nobody.
Yeah, no. Well, I meant us getting us critically reviewing beers for people.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, like, look, like the metric system didn't exist at one stage. So,
I know we're going back, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, St. Patrick's Day this week on, and you know, at this time of the year, typically in Ireland, pre-2020, you know, let's be honest, there'd be a lot of shite spoken about St. Patrick, and I think we need to set the record straight.
Yeah, well, like, I think as well, like, you know, us growing up in Irish Catholic schools throughout Ireland, we would have been told the story of St. Patrick, like, you know. But, like, you know, from a lot of stories from, you know, history in general, like, you know, who's to know what really happened? Like, you know, how do we know what the genuine source is? Where's the truth in all this? And, you know, how can we confirm what some old lad has said? You know, because, you know, we were looking into this again just to see, like, you know, oh, St. Patrick, the old, you know, the old saint, patron saint of Ireland, and they're saying, oh, you know, he wrote a letter to some soldiers and whatever, and that's where the whole story and stuff comes from. But, like, you know, you've gotten, you know, letters and texts back in the day like that. You've edited and put up on the internet, you know. I know the cut of you, you know. And, you know, who's to say that these boys weren't using Photoshop, you know, to mess around with these letters, you know?
Well, as they say, like, history is written by the winners.
Yeah, whatever. We all know you're a dab hand at the old Photoshop. just like the soldiers of Caroticus.
Listen, let's keep this on now, you know, the soldiers of Caroticus. Let's not be bringing any libel money.
Getting you in trouble.
Yeah. I'm trying to buy a house at the moment. I don't need a bank knocking on my door saying, you're about to be sued for libel here. Like, we can't underwrite your loan. See, Jesus. But yeah, like I suppose, do you know what? I think what we'll do is let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's tell the listeners the barstool history of St. Patrick.
Love it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we're back in the room after an advertisement from someone there. Hopefully a good local business like Tommy Hatch of Hatch's Hens. Not Cormac and Cork there. If you'd like some top quality egg hens.
Go to Tommy Hatch. To Ull's finest pilsner. 45 days.
45 day pilsner. Finest pilsner you'll find this side of Carlsberg's brewery in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I love the fact that we're getting a kind of a craft brewed Danish pilsner here. That is not Carlsberg, because it's not craft brewed, it's a big pile of shite. But yeah, we said we're going to give the barstool history of St. Patrick, and I suppose, like, As you alluded to, on growing up in Catholic Ireland, going to Catholic Irish schools, you know, we were taught the story of St. Patrick through the prism of the Catholic Irish establishment educational system. But I would dispute some of their claims. For one, St. Patrick is lauded as this big Irish hero, but in fact, he was a Brit.
He was a big Brit, yeah. You could probably say he was the first West Brit.
He was probably the first invader, like. It was all down to him, like. He started it all off, really, didn't he, like?
Yeah, no, he definitely did, like. So do you know whereabouts in Wales was he from, like, or what's the crack, like? He was...
Well, you see... Weren't his folks Romans? So, like, he was probably from some seaside village, fishing village or something.
Yeah. I heard he played rugby for the Clonetley Scarlets for a bit, like.
Yeah, but then when he got kidnapped, there was Scarlet for him.
For fuck's sake.
And like, do you know what? He was a divil for the old... He was a devil for devilment as a child, I'd say. You know?
Oh, stop.
Wandering off and going playing with sheep and stuff, like.
Yeah, no. Would you say, like, you know the kind of symbolism of St. Patrick that there is now, of, like, him with the what's it called? Is it called a Christer? What's the big shtick thing that he had, like?
I used to call it a staff.
Yeah, I suppose it is a staff, yeah. I think there's, like, some sort of...
But, like, he kind of just stole that style from Gandalf the Grey.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
And would you say he would have been rocking that, like, as a chap in Wales going around, like?
No, I'd say he took that on in Ireland. He just wanted to remake his image, you know, because they weren't accepting him because he was a Brit, like, and he tried to remodel himself as a non-Brit.
Yeah.
And, like, trust me, as a rural Irishman, there's nothing rural Ireland loves more than a good steak.
Mm.
Like whatever about your tractors, fields, animals, pints, a good steak is worth its weight in gold. You'll have abstentionists will value a good steak.
Why is that now?
Look, like it's just a bit. It just ties up the look, like, you know, it's. You can use it to herd the cattle. You can use it to wave them away. You can use it to test the softness of the ground.
To help you steady yourself after a few pints as well.
Steady yourself after a few pints. I'll tell you a story about walking sticks. My grandmother tells me my grandmother's uncle Andy Hamilton, who's he was known as the Nut. And he got into an altercation as a young man with some sour lads, and they bet the shit him, and he was kind of half crippled ever since. And he had two walking sticks. He used to hobble along on the two walking sticks. And he come down. He used to live at the top of the lane, and my great grandfather lived at the bottom of the lane when my grandmother was young. And the North came down, hobbled down one evening, and when he came in, they were having the dinner. So back in them days, the dinner was just one big pot. So the great grandmother just dished out a plate to him, and he stayed. And the great grandfather said, "Sure, you'll have a drop." So they had a few bottles of Guinness or ale or something anyway, and they had a few drops of whiskey. And sure, did not go off the lane without his walking sticks. And the great grandmother came out rowing after him. Jesus, Arthur Guinness is a mighty medicine man. So yeah, like, he was just like that. St. Patrick was only trying to fit in with the Irish folk, like, you know, he just wanted to become one of them because he wouldn't convert. They wouldn't listen to him about the old Christianity if he didn't.
I have a quick question about that story, right?
Yeah.
How do you tell the top of a lane from the bottom of a lane? Is it to do with the slope? Is it to do with how close you are to the main road? Do you know?
No, well, you see, the top of the lane is where it meets the road.
The top of the lane is where it meets the road. And the bottom of the lane is the furthest point away from the road.
Yeah, yeah.
the main road, main-ish road.
Yeah, yeah. So like, say the lane I'm referring to there goes into a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the bottom of the lane is the farmyard at the end of the lane.
I remember I used to always have this problem in a similar sense when I was living in Cork, and between the top and the bottom of Patrick Street, as to which was which, like.
Oh, yeah, the top of Patrick Street is the one at the north end of it.
North end. So by Merchant's Key.
Yeah, so where the statue of Father Matthew is, that's the top end.
Right, yeah. Because I think, always coming from Waterford, I would have, you know, arrived and probably would have parked in at Merchant's Key, and we would have come out the door there, right? And you always come out at the bottom of the street, you know what I mean? And you go up to the top of Patrick Street then, which would be the other end for me, like, you know.
Yeah, but you see...
But I was wrong, like, you know.
The people in Cork wouldn't park in Merchant's Quay, you see? You know, they park in Paul Street, say.
Paul, yeah, that was cheaper, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly, you know, made the land, like...
Sure, that Merchant's Quay place was just to fucking trick the Waterford chaps.
And I mean, if you think we're going off topic here, we're talking about St. Patrick Street.
Hey. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, right, we're back in Wales, and the poor chap was kind of working as a working with, in the fields in Wales.
Yeah, he was a chap, like, and he was working, and a few Irish pirates came along, slave traders.
Didn't he? Wasn't he taking a stroll along a beach or something? He was taking a break from the day or something.
Well, sure, there was no outhouses back then, so I'd say he was gone off to drop the kids off at the proverbial pool. So he's probably just gone behind the sand dune just to.
Yeah, again, like, this is this idealistic version of events, you know. The school wants to tell you, oh, he was, you know. He finished his working day. They're saying, oh, you know, something simple like, you know, he was out petting the sheep or something stupid, like, you know. That was after breaking his bollocks all day long. And he just wanted an old, probably a little stroll. And as you said yourself, probably, you know, the stomach could be rumbling from all the shite you'd be eating. And he probably went for it, and I would stroll behind the sand dunes.
Sure. Like, as Finn Dwyer tell you, the bread them days were full of stones. So, like, he had to shit a few stones out. So, yep. Like, and all he was doing was looking for a few dock leaves. So he strayed a bit from the village to find the good dock leaves, you know, that he could give a good wipe.
Yeah.
And he stumbled across these Irish pirates anyway. So they bagged them up and shipped them off to be sold.
So then he ventured across to... Would you say there was much crack on the boat on the way over, like? Would you say he did I am the captain?
No. Well...
Captain Patrick, the new film. Tom Hanks.
I wouldn't think so now, because I tell you why. I mean... We all know the Irish and the British didn't get on, like.
Really?
And sure, like, the British to be no crack. So I'd say the Irish pirate slave sellers were to be... Well, I'd say they were having a crack themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And they sailed over. And, I mean... So what... This is something that really bothers me, right?
Mm.
All the mythology about what St. Patrick created and didn't create and all that. There's one thing St. Patrick created that he's never gotten credit for. And it's, you know, them judges' wigs that they wear, the barrister wigs and the judges' wigs.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I mean, like, St. Patrick came over to be a shepherd, but like the chap, like, he was a well-read chap, you know, and he found the old shepherd work boring. So he used to shear the sheep and create little wigs for himself and laugh at himself in the reflection of the pond. And it kind of caught on. It became quite trendy after it became more popular. But it was like his secret shame, and it came out. But then it became like a common practice for the Dow lawyers and stuff to wear these wigs. But St. Patrick actually created them.
That is astoundingly interesting. Yeah, because wasn't he a big fan of Judas, in the Bible stories, right?
Yeah.
And that Patrick used to be a big proponent of telling the story of Judas. And wasn't it from Judas that Judge Judy got her name?
That's correct. And all, but he was like, he was a big advocate of the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
He wanted to become a lawyer, so he created these wigs so that he could pretend he wasn't a shepherd and pretend he was a lawyer.
Yeah.
It was a lifelong dream to represent Judas in a court of law.
It was, yeah. So anyway, we'll take it back a small bit, right? So he was still a young chap. He was on the boat, came over to Ireland, and he was sold as a slave then to a lad doing the exact same job as he was doing at home, just in a field in Ireland instead.
But the only thing was, he was getting only paid half the wages. So here's the thing, right? He escaped the slavery, right? But then there's a story of that he drove all the snakes out of Ireland. Now, this is like, there were no snakes in Ireland. Like, there's no skeletal evidence that there were ever snakes here.
Mm.
Where Ireland would have been in the Ice Age, it just wouldn't have supported them. I think this is either a story of history being written by the winners, or else it's just been lost in translation.
Mm.
What actually happened was, St. Patrick stumbled across Fionn McCool one day, when he escaped the slavery, he was strolling around.
Mm.
And Fionn McCool was out to catching the salmon of knowledge.
Mm.
And St. Patrick said, "Hey, that's the salmon of knowledge, boy." And Fionn McCool said, "Oh, is that the case? Sure, look, we'll cook him up there and we'll eat him." But St. Patrick said, "I'll cook him now. You go off and get some garnish and find some mushrooms and stuff."
Yeah.
Sure, St. Patrick didn't know
how. Sweet chili sauce.
Yeah, but same good super value and get some abracadabra garlic mayo. But St. Patrick didn't know how to cook. He was useless. And he burned the salmon.
Patrick did.
Yeah.
So
Fionn McCool came back and fucked him out of it anyway and saw all the blisters appearing in the salmon. So that's when Fionn McCool popped the blister in his thumb and soaked it and got all the knowledge.
Oh.
But St. Patrick got thick with him because they were supposed to eat him at the same time. So he didn't drive the snakes out of Ireland. He drove Fionn McCool out of Ireland. But as I say, history is written by the winners. Didn't he call him an awful loud snake?
Yeah.
That's what happened. But it got lost in translation in the last 1600 years.
Yeah, no, that's true. People pray to, you know, Saint Anthony when they lose things, you know. But people in Ireland also pray to St. Patrick when they go on to get rid of a snake. And the last time he was prayed to was when he drove Bertie Ahern out of government.
McKinney was doing rituals, doing a snake dance. And the Kenny was doing the worm, thinking it was the snake, but then someone corrected him and told him, no, you have to do the snake dance.
It takes one snake to drive another snake out.
Yeah, absolutely. But
do you know what else, right? Do you know what? He escaped slavery, right? Right. And the story we were told in school was that one day he's working on a field and he hears the voice of God, right, telling him to escape, and that there's a ship down by the shore, and that he escapes home that way. Anyway, right. So, like, I don't believe, right? Like, it's well known that Patrick lived beside the Fiddler's Bow pub, right. Right, just there outside, Turmafecken, wasn't it?
Yeah,
just around. So, he was beside that, right? And there was a fella that used to frequent that pub, And his name was Todd. And Todd used to sell sods. And I think somewhere it was lost in translation that I think Todd fucking fell out of the place, right? And he said, "Oh, yeah, that's me, sons." And Patrick said, God, is that you? And now, you know, Todd at the best time was a dirty old bastard, right? He used to be covered in sods from, you know, from start of the day to the end of the day. And he used an old boat there to get around to an old island, like, you know. So he tied this boat up and he said, Oh, Jesus. I fucked it so bad. this is fucking written in stone. This is what we were told anyway. But he said, "Oh, Jesus, me sons. Someone that will save me sons. Will someone escape and save the sons for me?" So, yeah, Patrick, hard of hearing, having the fucking turf in his ears and everything over the few years, said, "God, escape." Somebody said, "But somebody on the boat." And get it from sons.
Todd inspired Sminky Shorts 2,000 years later.
So yeah, that's the real reason how Patrick escaped.
And another thing, right? I hate the concept. I hate this this false dichotomy, this false narrative that, like, you know, he returned to Ireland to convert the Irish to Christianity. What actually happened was when he went home to Wales, there was no decent hash around, and he was the devil for the hash. So he returned to Ireland to smoke some shamrock, and he wanted to get his hands on as much shamrock as he could. So he used it to explain the Holy Trinity, but it was just an excuse to get some shamrock he could smoke in a bowl.
And that's how that tradition has lasted for centuries, since where the Taoiseach of Ireland has brought a big bowl of hash to the US president.
Under the layer of shamrock.
Yeah, under it.
And then they hotbox it.
Yeah. Hotbox it in the West Wing.
Yeah, the Oval Office becomes a hotbox for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
That's why, and this is actually fact, I'm not messing, St. Patrick's colours were not green. He used to wear blue, genuinely. That's not taking a piss. But they converted it to green when they started this transition, because just to pay homage to the green grass that they were smoking. Look here, like, I have a serious question for you. Do you think St. Patrick ever rode St. Bridget?
I don't know. She probably would have been very cross with him.
He was out waiting in the reeds.
So what? Like, he went back to Wales, and then he kind of heard the voice of
your Todd.
Todd calling him back. And he arrives back in Ireland then, and through awful, awful confusion, he wants to spread the word of Todd.
Instead of the sod of Todd.
yeah. But he thought he heard God, so he was trying to spread the word of God. And Like, in fairness, like the pagan druids and stuff like that in Ireland at the time, I'd say they were fucking stone mad with him. Like,
I don't think they were too bothered because he kept bringing big bowls of hash, smoking it. So they were happy out with him. But I mean, like, in fairness, St. Patrick suffered a lot during his life, and I suppose the biggest suffering he ever had was the reputational suffering he had when Arthur Guinness did the whole identity theft.
Go on, what's this now? I don't remember hearing this now.
So Arthur Guinness famously tried to steal St. Patrick's identity when he tried to convert the greatest hash and drinking festival day of the year, St. Patrick's Day, and usurp it with Arthur's Day in a case of identity theft.
Jesus.
He tried to use Guinness's sneaky, ployful marketing prowess to subconsciously supplant himself in the psyche of all Irish people in place of and above St. Patrick.
Like, it's incredible to think, isn't it? Like, we're... Like, St. Patrick, like, you know, has this day which, you know, you talk about social media following and stuff nowadays of Instagram followers and how, you know, it takes you, you know, it could take you a year to amass 1,000 followers or 10,000 followers, you know, and like, like, you know, St. Patrick, you know, obviously this is before social media ever became a thing, you know. But, you know, he drove the culture of getting absolutely polluted on a day, you know, in yeah. his honour, right? Like, boys and girls going out in Ireland, going into pubs and getting absolutely trolleyed and not a care in the world for anyone or anything for a full day. And then this bastard comes along then, and he goes...
And once again, St. Patrick bringing Catholicism to Ireland, and Arthur Guinness stealing his identity, and Arthur Guinness a Protestant.
And some say he brought it to Ireland as well.
Protestant.
But sure, it's only because of a recipe mix up that Guinness is an orange.
Burn the oranges. Turn it black. Anyway.
It was like Patrick with the fish, with the salmon.
Yeah. But I suppose the last thing we'll say about St. Patrick before we actually want to flag a lost soul of Irish history is the thing that people didn't realise at all is that St. Patrick was actually a Siamese twin. There was two lads stuck together, Pat and Rick.
Fucking hopeless.
Right. I actually need another bathroom break after that. Be back in 2 minutes. I don't think anyone's still listening. Right, lads, we're settled again now. And we're just for the last little bit of the podcast, on something that people genuinely don't know. I mean, St. Bridget, people know about her, people know about St. Patrick. Ireland actually has a third patron saint.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, who?
St. Colum Kill.
Oh, St. Colum Kill. You'd see a few kind of hospitals and stuff like that named after him, and a few.
Or like Columba, as he was known. And
is that kind of like your man Columbo? Isn't he a detective chap or something on the telly? Is that him? No.
Yeah. He was a tribute to St. Colum Kill.
Oh right, okay.
And Columbo himself, but Columba and Kill basically means church. Is the Irish word for church?
Oh.
So Colum Kill is basically Colum's church. It was just a suffix that was added after he died, I think, but. This is what annoys me, right, about the Catholic Church in Ireland. It suppresses all the good people. He's a patron saint. We should be very proud of him. He's actually a mad bastard.
Yeah.
A complete mad bastard. He was actually born in Donegal, which automatically makes him a mad bastard, if you ask me. The homeland of Kinnegar. And do you know what? I think part of me thinks that St. Patrick sabotaged the reputation of St. Columbkill so that he'd be a bigger Cahooly, you know?
Mm.
But St. Columbkill was actually the great grandson of a High King of Ireland. And his great grandfather had an amazing name, Niall of the Nine Hostages.
What's it again? Niall of the Nine Hostages?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Now, rumour has it that the reason St. Patrick sabotaged St. Columbkill is because St. Patrick was one of the nine hostages being brought over for slavery. But St. Columbkill was... because he came from this wealthy at the time, royal background, and all his like cousins were princes, like the Prince of Derry and all this kind of crack. And the Prince of Derry actually became a patron of his. So he basically founded the monastic site in Derry. So like the cathedral in Derry is named after him because he founded the monastery there, the original monastery in Derry. And he'd be sickened for anyone to call it the L word. He wouldn't appreciate that at all now.
No.
And he would have done something about it. St. Columbkill is the only patron saint in Irish history to have actually started a war.
What? He started a war?
He actually started.
But we're a big pacifist country.
Yeah, but he started a tribal war. But that's what I'm saying, right? How things could be different. Like, we could be the big agitator on the global scale if we embraced our St. Columbkills.
We'd have everyone in the country vaccinated now if Columbkill was still around.
Columbkill would have just burst in.
He would have bet the head off Pfizer.
He just would have burst into the warehouse with a big JCB and a big trailer on the back of it, and he would have took him off himself. And he would have just vaccinated people as he drove past, like in the countryside. Just on driving down to JCB. Hold on, I'll get out and I'll vaccinate you. Bridie there, walking your dog. He'd vaccinate the dog and all. But he started the war. He found Derry, but my favourite fact about St. Columbkill is that St. Columbkill is the person who found the Loch Ness Monster.
No way.
Yeah. Irish-born patron saint of Ireland, not some fake Irish Brit like Patrick. A genuine Irish patron saint found the Loch Ness Monster, got scared of her, so told her to fuck off, and she fucked off because she got scared of him because he roared at her.
No way. Is this true?
This is genuine. This is genuinely a myth, the mythology that St. Columbkill found the Loch Ness Monster
Told her to jog on.
Yeah. Was like, how? Get out of here now, you absolute bozy. Because he actually, when he started that war, he actually got excommunicated from the church. So he had to leave Ireland. He was banished from Ireland. But he, apparently it was August 565. He was at Loch Ness. And it's the first ever historical reference to the Loch Ness Monster. He back then, like, they hadn't roads, so he was trying to get somewhere, and he was like, hold on, I'll cross the lake here now. I'll swing across the lake, and basically he in fairness now, like, being despite the fact he was excommunicated, he did the old sign of the cross with his hands and told her to fuck off. And she got spooked into going back underwater. And he crossed.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. So one of the most famous global myths. And there was a lad from Donegal started it all.
But we don't know what the myth like.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know
what I mean? Again, like that's the schoolyard telling you now that, you know, that the Loch Ness Monster is a myth.
But I mean, they'll tell you that God is real, but the Loch Ness Monster is a myth.
No. Do you know what I mean?
No, we should question these things. After all, we were never told if St. Patrick was burnt to salmon for Fionn McCool. You know,
Oh, that's good. That is good. I'm looking up that the St. Columba, Wikipedia is a godsend, isn't it? In fairness to the old thing, like.
Yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure that Wikipedia was founded by St. Columba.
In 521.
Yeah.
Isn't it mad to think about, like, people being born in 521 and stuff like that? Like, that there was actually people around then, like, and, like, died at the, he died at the age of 75 in 597, like, you know. Yeah. You know, like, what year is it now? Ah, yeah, sure, it's just, it's the year 560, you know, we're here in 2021, like, and people fucking banging around back then, like, I think that's fascinating.
What's fascinating is that in 521 he was born and he lived for 75 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No sign of the coronavirus there.
No, just stone in the bread.
Yeah, just stone in the bread. Yeah,
and shamrock in the bowls.
But yeah, geez, that was a good crack. Now I enjoyed that. That was a good laugh.
The kind of nonsense you'd hear from us in a pair.
But, like, but who's to say who's right, really? Do you know what I mean?
Listen, show me the proof.
Show me the proof. Show me the proof. Like, do you know, us documenting this now, like, this is going in as podcast format, and it will be documented in the annals of history, right? So, like, who's to say that our version of the telling of the story isn't right?
I love the thoughts of, like, in 150 years' time, some young lad in a hovercraft school over...
In first class, doing his first holy communion. Well, it'll probably be like first holy communion of the sea monsters or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, living on a floating city somewhere, a plastic island. And they'll be learning, and they'll be saying, this was heavily disputed by scholars of the time.
Newcastle.
Drinking what was known as an elixir knowledge called T'ulle. Listen, guys, thanks a million for listening, if you're still listening. At this stage, fair play to you. This has been a lot of fun.
Too much fun.
I mean, it's been so much fun, I had to stop the podcast midway through because I couldn't stop laughing. And I genuinely thought my bladder was going to explode. Thanks a million for tuning in. You know the stuff, crack. Follow us on the social medias. If you want to throw a few pound away, we're on patreon.com/snowcast. Share the podcast with a friend. Enjoy St. Patrick's Day. Enjoy St. Patrick's Eve even more. We definitely will. And stay away from yourselves.
Yeah, I just want to echo that. I know, like, every week we come and we say, oh, you know, support us on Patreon and stuff like that, right? But, like, we're too... We're two full-time employed people, and the money that we get from this doesn't go to our bank accounts at all. And that we've bought ourselves mics. That's the only expense that we spent on ourselves, really, on this thing. And we've donated money to like the Sulla Center, Irish Cancer Support Center, through your donations as well. So I just want to kind of, I suppose, emphasize that you're not paying us, you're just paying good causes by supporting us, like, and we're just trying to spread the wealth and stuff around as well, like. So thanks to everybody who's donated so far. It actually means the world to us, and it means the world to, like, those kind of local charities and businesses and stuff like that that we've helped support through your donations as well.
Love it. What a brilliant note to end on.
Right. Good luck.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well,
HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.